All right, I want to bring greetings to all of you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome each one of you here and just ask that you would pray as we open God's Word and that we'd have open hearts to hear and listen to what He has to say for us this morning. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we just ask that You would bless Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Father, help us to do Your will. Lead us not into temptations, Father, but deliver us from evil. Father, that Thine would be the glory and the power forever. Lord, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a real blessing this morning. The young boys were given the verse about pride, to look up verses concerning pride. Pride is a very subtle, dangerous thing. It can take on many forms. I think we'll kind of start with that, and then wanted to move on. Well, I want to look in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, and committed abominations before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. I want to first comment just a little bit. This weekend in Springfield and the last few weekends, seems like June, there's just gatherings in about every city of what they call Gay Pride Week. They have gay pride parades. And their cry is, just leave us alone, let us do whatever we want. But they're not just doing what they want. They want everyone to give consent to what they're doing. And they call coming out as being proud of their sin. What they're doing is bringing judgment on everyone. Because when people become proud of their sin, there's nothing left for them but judgment. One of the boys gave the verse of in Timothy that in the last days there'd be full of pride. We're on the verge of judgment. Whatever you're doing in your life, you don't need to plan too far ahead. Whatever your life consists of, you don't need to be planning too far ahead. Because one of these days, God is going to bring judgment. And the signs of judgment are all around us. The evidence of what God, where God will bring judgment, is right in front of our face. The Bible is very clear about that. Pride, the fullness of bread and the abundance of idleness. That was the sin. And God brought judgment upon it. Pride will destroy people. It will bring swift destruction, as we've talked about. The boys' verses all brought out, pride goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. And it's easy to point out, and it's easy to see people that are proud of their sin and how wicked that is. it's easy to see when things like that are going on, that it's wrong. But pride can be pretty subtle too. Pride can get in religious people, and they can be proud that they're better than everyone else. That pride is just as wicked, if not more so, than what's going on in these abomination parades. Because this looks good if you're doing what's right. But it's just as wicked. A haughty look is one of the things that God hates. Those people on the streets, they look at us because we say what they're doing is wrong. They look down on us and say, "Oh, you're just full of hate. We're full of love." They look down. And that's exactly what people do to others. Religious people do. That they look down on them. Somebody isn't doing what they're doing. They look down on them. That spirit is the same spirit of wickedness. Destruction goeth before a fall. And that pride goeth before destruction. Some of the other ways that this is manifest. You know, whenever we make a mistake, some people don't like to speak in public. That's one of the reasons why we have the boys stand up in front of everybody. So that they can learn to make a mistake in front of someone and not be all ashamed about it and afraid. We've got an idea of ourselves that we don't want anybody to see our flaws. We don't want to see anybody see us make mistakes. You know what that is? That's pride. And it needs to be overcome. Sometimes we don't speak up because we're afraid we might say something wrong. That's pride. That's thinking that I don't want somebody else to see me make a mistake. That's easy to paint over in religion and put a plastic face on it so that nobody ever sees my faults. That's pride. And it's just as wicked as prancing around half naked in front of everybody telling people that you're queer. It's wrong. Christ calls us to be what we are to be. And when we get all proud about it because we're doing a little something better than anybody else, or maybe we haven't done something that someone else has done, it's still just pride. Pure old pride. We need to be careful. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, I may be wrong here. I'm so embarrassed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest. Or have ye not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, shall not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? And then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus just did what was right. Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are not to keep the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. Bible says the Jews stumbled over this. What I want to talk about is that Jesus did what was right all the time. He did what was right, whether there was a law against it or not. He lived the laws of the kingdom of God and did what's right. We have the verses in Romans chapter 12 or 13, or Romans 13. Says, Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good? And thou shalt have praise, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. God has given governments to restrain evil. That's their purpose, is to restrain evil. We are supposed to do good. And if we do good, we should not suffer for it. But sometimes we do. If we do what is right, it doesn't matter what man has said. That's why the apostles, whenever they went out to preach, and they were commanded not to, they went on and did it anyway, and they were brought back. They were forbidden to speak in Jesus' name anymore. And they were brought back for the council, and they said, "Shall we obey God or man?" I know that there's a lot of people turn that verse and twist it all out of order and legalize in their own eyes a lot of things that they do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you doing what is right. And if there's a consequence for it, accept that consequence. But do what is right. The principle of the Spirit of the Kingdom of God is for men and women to live in a way that they don't need to be governed by man's laws or by man's rules. They're governing them their lives by what Christ taught. And what Christ taught was good and holy and right. The Pharisees had a law that said you're not supposed to do this, this, and this on the Sabbath day. You know what Jesus did with their law? He went right out into the grain fields and His disciples plucked grain right on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees said, "Whoa, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's against the law." They went and did it. And He told them that the Sabbath day wasn't made for man, but for man for the Sabbath. Or the Sabbath, man wasn't made for the Sabbath day, but the Sabbath was for man. There was a man that was crippled in his arms. He had a withered arm. And he came into the temple, and the Pharisees confronted him right away and said, and ask him what he's going to do. And he healed him on the Sabbath day. Went against their laws. And they went out and conspired against him how they were going to destroy him because he flaunted their laws. Because he did what was right. He asked them, if your sheep's fallen in a hole, are you going to get it out? If the ox falls in a ditch, are you going to get it out? Of course. And he said, here's a man that's having problems. Are you going to help him on the Sabbath day? And they wouldn't even do it. So he did. And they sought to destroy him for it. The principles of the Kingdom of God are doing what is right. Every time, all the time, anytime. It's right. You do it. No matter what the consequences are going to be. The principles of the Kingdom of God are being what we are supposed to be. Just simply being what we're supposed to be. That's where the pride comes in. Sometimes we're too proud to be what we should be. We're too proud to be what we should be. But that's what He's called us to do. He didn't call us to be strict law keepers. He called us to do what's right. You know, Jesus didn't busy Himself trying to find out every law that the Pharisees had so He could make sure He kept it. He didn't get the Congress's law book to find out every law that there is to make sure He kept every law. That's not the way He operated. He read the Bible to find out how to live right and how to do right, not how to keep the laws. And when a man does what's right, he's obeying the laws. You can't write enough laws to govern how people live. But you get a man that does what's right, and you don't even need one law. The farther people get from God, the more laws they need to restrain themselves. And the more laws you write, the more it gets turned upside down. The legalism. Is not what God's interested in. It's having the Spirit of the law. The Spirit of the law is alive. Whenever it's time to do what's right, it's time to do what's right. Whether the law allows it or not. You know, there's been times in history where it was against the law to take in someone who was a follower of Christ and give them food and drink. It was against the law. And if someone found an Anabaptist in your house, they'd take your house away from you and throw you in prison. Because you was trying to feed an Anabaptist. I think that gets pretty close to what Jesus was talking about in Matthew when they said, "When did I see you hungry and thirsty? When did I see you without clothes? When did I see you in prison?" I think it was one of his brethren is what he was talking about. I think that there was a price tag to help that person. You know, it's popular to go around helping people. There's no shame in that. But you go help the wrong person, you're liable to get in trouble. You go help the person that's actually trying to do something right and turn from wickedness, and you're going to get in trouble. I think that's what he's talking about. It's about doing what's right. Being associated with Christ and His principles and His kingdom and His people. Jesus did what was right. And that's all He wants us to do, is to make the right decisions, just to do what's right. We do such planning about the future that we got to worry about what's going to happen instead of just doing and being. A real blessing here. And he said to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, and it was restored. Whole, just like the other. That's a blessing. That's amazing. He was on a boat. And it was tossed to and fro. And the disciples got scared riding that boat. And they went down and woke him up. And he come up out of the boat. And he said, peace be still to the wind and the waves. And the sea was calm. And they said, who is this man that can even speak to the weather and it obeys him? He was a man who just was. He was a man who just was what God wanted him to be. There's no pride in his performing a miracle. In fact, he told people, don't even tell nobody about it. I'd just assume no one knows about it. He just did it. He just did what's right. Just want to encourage us. Just do what's right. Someone needs help. And it might get us in trouble. Just do what's right. If it's going to cause you shame to be associated with someone, just do what's right. If it's going to cause you shame to just speak up and say something when you ought to be saying something, just do what's right. If it's going to cause you shame or reproach to rebuke evil, just do what's right. Jesus just spoke to that man with a withered hand and his hand was restored. I think sometimes we're afraid a little bit of because of how it's been abused, the power of the Lord to heal, and the power of the Lord to deliver, the power of the Lord to set men free from devils. I think we're afraid of that sometimes because it's been just clownified by the televangelists. It's been turned into a circus. There's times we just need to speak to those things. Humble ourselves and just speak to those, address those issues. Don't hide from them. Don't get proud about them. Don't make a big public display about it. But just address those issues face to face. The devil cannot stand before us, the Bible says. The gates of hell cannot stand before us. I think sometimes our fear, there's a little pride in our fear. It's a little selfishness. Jesus said, if you'll come after me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Denying ourselves is losing ourselves, forgetting about ourselves. I think a lot of our problems, our anxiousness about things is focusing on me. Whenever I fail, and I worry and worry and worry about it, it's because I'm so proud. that I could have failed. If we can't forgive ourselves, it's because we're too proud to humble ourselves to do it. A lot of people carry a lot of things around because they think they shouldn't have done that. They think they're above doing something like that. They thought they could never do that. It's pride. You know, whenever I was growing up, young Methodist boy, there wasn't Mennonites in my area, but there were Methodists and Free Will Baptists. We were the super religious of the area. We didn't drink, we didn't smoke, we didn't do a lot of the things that everybody else was doing in the world. We believed the Bible. And all those people that thought you got saved and you just were saved forever, we didn't accept that. And I grew up thinking that I was somebody because I was a Methodist. And that we didn't drink and we didn't smoke and we didn't run around. We didn't have divorce and remarriage. We didn't have some of the things that all the rest of the world was doing. We had television, but it was guarded for a while. But I saw myself as somebody. And I looked at other people and I just despised that they would do the things that I never thought I could do. And I think that is one of the reasons why God brought me to the place and just kicked me out. And it wasn't very long till I was doing a lot of things that I never, ever, ever dreamed that I would ever do. You know, there was a king one time that was a king and he thought he was powerful. And he wound up living out on the grass, eating grass, and his toenails grew out. His hair grew long. He lived like an animal. God brought him to humility. And He can do the same to us. And that would be the most merciful thing that He could do. I think one of the most merciful things that God ever done was let me start drinking whenever I was a boy. I was 18 years old before I ever even tasted a sip of wine. I'd never tried it. And I tasted a little sip. And all that did was kick the door wide open. And I learned how to drink. And I've tried some of their stupid drugs. I've been a whoremonger. I've done a lot of things that I never thought I would have ever done being a religious boy. Because I was looking at others right down my religious, wicked nose, thinking I could never do that. How can they do that? That's wicked. And the most merciful thing God ever let me do was, one of the most, was let me see that I was just as bad as any of them. The most merciful thing that He had was He gave me another chance. And He called me again. I've watched hundreds of my friends make the same decisions I make, and He never spoke to them again. Sin lies at the door. Humble yourself now. Pride will bring a fall. Pride will bring destruction. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us be faithful to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have anything? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. We'll meet again this evening, 6 o'clock. Pray for the brethren going in the morning to Massachusetts. I'll be going to Columbia Friday. So. Ishmael sends his greetings. Okay. Yeah, but I pray for Margo. All right. Well, God bless you. Have a good.